is the Acts of the Apostles, but it's more the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles. Acts chapter 16, we're breaking into the chapter at verse 16. Acts 16, let's hear the word of God. It says, "And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought our masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. When her master saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakened out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the words of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. We know the Lord always adds a blessing to the reading of his inspired and it's an infallible word. Let's pray together before we come to the word. Father, we just pray now, Lord, that you would still our souls as we've been singing. That, Lord, you would go, as we have often prayed, from seat to seat and from heart to heart, dealing with each and every one of us as individuals. We pray, Lord, today, if there's someone who's not saved, Lord, that they would realize that without Jesus Christ, that they're eternally lost. That they're without God and without hope. And Lord, if they're ever to get into God's heaven, they need God's salvation. And Father, we just pray today for us, your people. Give us that uplift in our spirit. Encourage our hearts today. But Lord, also as we start a new autumn and winter work here in Drumrea, we pray that you would challenge us all to do a little bit more for the Lord. Because Lord, the day is coming when no man or woman can work. And Lord, you are coming soon, and perhaps you're coming sooner than what we realize. And Lord, you've said in your word, Behold, I come quickly. Father, we're living on uncertain days, Lord, and uncertain times. But thank you, Lord, that we know who the God who holds the future and the God who holds our hand. But Lord, come by your Spirit today. I pray, Lord, for a fresh infilling of God, the Holy Spirit. Pray, Lord, for a fresh cleansing in the blood of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I pray these things in Jesus' name and for his glory alone. Amen. Many people on the journey of life are asking questions today. Why am I here? What's the purpose of my life? Surely there's more to life than this. And you know, the Bible also has questions as well. We have looked at some of them when I've been here before. Important questions, individual questions, inescapable questions. Perhaps we have read in this chapter of Acts 16, one of the most important questions that has ever been asked on the journey of life. What a question it is. Acts chapter 16, verse 30, listen to these words. What must I do to be saved? What a question. And what an answer Paul gave to this Philippian jailer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. There's only one salvation. And there's only one true way to be saved. And that's simply trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But of course, the Lord Jesus Christ deals with every one of us as individuals. And he deals with every one of us and in a personal and individual way. You see, no two conversions are ever the same. In my ministry, I've known folk who have been dramatically saved. I can even think of my brother who was saved as a young man. He's a couple of years older. He's also a Belfast City missionary. And you know, if my brother was given his testimony, he was far from God, and he would say, the day that he got saved, he had no inkling he would be saved. He had no interest to be saved. And yet before he had laid his head on the pillow, God really dramatically intervened in his life. And he heard the effectual call of the gospel, and he was wonderfully saved. Perhaps we've known other people who have been forcibly saved, perhaps through terrible circumstances. But you know, I've known many others, and perhaps that's where you're at this morning if you're a Christian, and particularly children as well. You could say, well, you know, Joseph, I got saved as a child, and there was nothing dramatic about it. I just opened my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I just said, Lord Jesus, save me. And you know, that's how I was saved as a little boy of 10 years of age. I didn't know much theology. In fact, I knew very little. I didn't know much about the Bible, but I realized that I was a sinner. I was reading a little gospel booklet for children, and I remember getting out of my bed and saying in so many words, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come in today, come in this day, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Do you know in this chapter that we've read this morning in Acts chapter 16, we have different kinds of conversion experiences. And you, Acts 16, where we've read today, is a very important chapter in the canon of Scripture. You see, the gospel of Jesus Christ has entered Europe for the very first time in this chapter. We see the very first lady that was saved in this chapter in Europe. The very first convert, her name was Lydia. Look what it says about Lydia's conversion. Verse 14, it says, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worship God, heard us. This is the little phrase, whose heart the Lord opened. Whose heart the Lord opened. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that lovely? Whose heart the Lord opened. You see, there's nothing dramatic about this lady's conversion. This lady, Lydia, heard the effectual call of the gospel. She heard the Lord calling her, and she opened her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and was wonderfully saved. But if you study further down this chapter of Acts 16, we have another conversion, another lady. But her conversion is so much different from Lydia's because this second lady was a demon-possessed lady. Here was a lady who the devil had control of her life. And you know, it was a terrible, desperate situation. But thank God nothing's too desperate for the Lord. This lady wasn't too far gone for the Lord. You see, one touch from the Lord Jesus Christ is all that we need. Do you know there's many people where we minister from the Lord and throughout our country who are full of the devil, bound by the devil, bound and fettered by the evil one, and there's many people in chains today, and humanly speaking, there's no way out. But thank God for the gospel. You see, there's dynamic power in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's hope in the gospel. There's life in the gospel. There's salvation in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, for whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You know, we see this lady's conversion in verse 18. Let me read these words to you, this demon-possessed lady. It says this she did many days, but Paul being grieved and turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And they came out the same hour. Two ladies in one chapter, wonderfully saved. Two conversions, but yet so much different as day and night. But here's the important thing. They both were saved, and they both were wonderfully saved, and they both were saved by Jesus. Do you know, I have known people as they have listened to testimonies, and we have quite a few testimonies in Ballybean. And I've known some people as they've listened to people giving testimonies. And as they've listened to somebody perhaps given a dramatic testimony from a life of sin and how the Lord intervened in their life and how the Lord drew them to himself. I've known people who have said, you know, well, I didn't get saved in that way. You know, that's not how the Lord dealt with me. And I've known some people who've said, well, you know, maybe I'm not saved. I want you to grab hold of this today, child of God. It's not the circumstances surrounding our conversion that saves us. No, it's the grace of God that saves us. And the hymn writer put it like this, saved by grace alone. This is all my plea. Jesus died for sinful men. Jesus died for me. Listen to the words of Scripture. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Oh, the gospel has entered into Europe for the very first time. And the Lord's wonderfully blessing here in Philippi. And many souls are being saved in the city of Philippi. But I want you to see here in this chapter, yes, we have the blessing of the Lord. But you know, when we see souls being saved or a work being done by God, you can rest assured that we'll always have the opposition of the devil. And that's exactly what's happening here in Philippi. You see, the devil doesn't like people getting saved, and the devil doesn't like churches that like to see people getting saved. And the devil will fight us all the way. You know, the Bible describes the devil in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Listen to these words. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And I challenge you, believer in Christ today. You know, in our Christian lives, we need to be careful. Because the devil will fight us all the way. But the Bible says concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, but greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And maybe there's some young believers here this morning, and maybe there's Christians who've been saved for many years. And you'll not be too long saved until you know there's a devil. Oh, the child of God, that the devil likes to distract us. The devil, well, he likes to dement us. He likes to distress us. He likes to discourage us. He likes to divide us. But thank God this morning for the overcoming power of Jesus Christ. You know what the Bible says in the book of Revelation concerning the devil? It says that they overcame him, that's the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Satanic opposition? Is the devil real? Of course he is. And satanic opposition has came here to Philippi. Look at verse 20. It says, they said they brought them, the men of God, to the magistrate, saying, look what they said. These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city. They exceedingly trouble our city. I tell you, some of us that are saved today, would not be a good testimony to have. Do you know, I would love to desire for my work in Ballybean that we would be a great trouble to the devil. That we'd so turn up the upside down the estate of Ballybean. Think about the town of Ballymoney today. Oh, that we would cause great trouble for the devil. Oh, that we would turn this town inside out and inside out for Jesus, upside down for Jesus. We see some of this satanic opposition. Verse 22 says, and the multitudes rose up together against them. And the magistrate rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Verse 24, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in prayer. We have many conversions in this chapter, but there's something else important from Acts chapter 16. I wonder, did you notice it? We've got three different prayer meetings. Three prayer meetings. I tell you, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ today, if we're ever to live victorious Christian lives, if we're ever to see the blessing of God upon our churches and upon our family and upon our community, we need to pray. We need to pray. The first prayer meeting he mentioned in Acts 16 is in verse 13. What a prayer meeting that was. It says, on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside. Look what it says. Where prayer was wont to be made. Where prayer was wont to be made. You know, the result of that prayer meeting was a soul that was saved. And then there was a second prayer meeting that's mentioned in verse 16. It says, and it came to pass as we went to prayer. Then we have that momentous prayer meeting. in the Philippian jail, a prayer meeting at midnight, verse 25 says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. And you know, we had another soul that was saved, the Philippian jailer. I tell you this morning, God hears and answers prayer. You see, when we pray, people get saved. These men, Paul and Silas, their lives counted for God because their lives were saturated in prayer. Praying, true praying, faithful praying, consistent praying. I tell you, it's what counts in the Christian life. You know what the Bible says concerning prayer? He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Isn't that a lovely encouraging verse? Thank God this morning for the little band of God's people who were in the prayer meeting before we come in this morning. Do you know, E.M. Bounds was a wonderful man of God and a wonderful man of prayer. If you want to buy a good book about prayer, buy a book from E.M. Bounds. And this is what E.M. Bounds said about prayer, and I believe it with all my heart. Let me quote him. E.M. Bounds says, what the church needs today is not more machinery or better machinery. It's not new organizations or more novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use, men of prayer, men mighty in prayer. The Holy Ghost does not flow through methods, but through men. He does not come on machinery, but on men. He does not anoint plans, but men, men of prayer. And here's the challenge, brothers and sisters, this morning. Will you be such a man of prayer today? Will you be such a woman of prayer? You see, our individual Christian lives, they're no greater than what we are on our knees. And I tell you, the prayer life, our prayer life, your prayer life, is the spiritual barometer of our Christian life. Things happen when we pray. Supernatural things happen when we pray. Look what happened here when these men prayed in the prison cell. Supernatural things happened. Verse 26 says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. Wonderful thing to pray, isn't it? Not only do we have three prayer meetings in this chapter, but we have the very first praise service, the very first gospel concert ever in Europe. And it's in this prison cell, verse 25. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. I want you to picture this scene today. Paul and Silas have been hammered for Christ. Paul and Silas have been battered for Christ. Paul and Silas have been walloped for Christ. Paul and Silas have been whipped for Christ. They've been physically crushed for Jesus. We see something of their suffering in Philippi in verse 23 says, and when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Picture this scene this morning, two faithful men of God. Their only crime was loyalty. Loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were loyal to the cross. They were loyal to the gospel. But they're now in prison. In fact, it was more like a dungeon. Here's a question this morning. Why do Christians suffer? Why do Christians suffer? Maybe I'm speaking here this morning. You say, Joseph, I'm going through hard trials in my life. Life has thrown its very worst at me. Maybe I'm speaking to someone and you're suffering today and you're in a dungeon experience and it's black and you find that there's no way out. Maybe your dungeon today could be the suffering of sickness. Maybe your dungeon's the suffering of bereavement. Maybe your dungeon's financial crisis. Maybe your dungeon's distress, depression, desperation. You say this morning, is there any hope and comfort for me? I want you to grab hold of this morning, as many believers have in times gone past. You see, as we picture these two men in this dark dungeon cell in Philippi, these two men, Paul and Silas, you know, they didn't wallow and they didn't complain about their suffering. You know, it would have been so easy for them to do that, so easy. But you know, here are two Christian men who didn't go down that road. lifted their eyes to heaven. And they lifted their eyes to Jesus. And the Lord didn't feel them. And the Lord will not feel you this morning either. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, there you'll find him. You'll know him with the nail prints in his hands. It says they sang praises unto God and the prisoners heard them. I tell you, the Lord loves to hear the praises of his people. The Bible says, whoso offereth praise glorifieth God. Something else I want you to notice in this city of Philippi. I want you to notice this earthquake in Philippi. It says, you know, when the Paul and Silas prayed and sang, it says that the prisoners heard them. Now, this is very significant. Because at this stage in the prison cell, there's no mention of the jailer hearing them. Perhaps the jailer was like so many people here today. Maybe there's some here even in their service this morning. You're like the Philippian jailer. Maybe you're disinterested in the gospel. Maybe you're unconcerned about your soul. Could I even dare say maybe there's someone here today and you couldn't care less about the gospel? The jailer didn't hear, but the prisoners heard. But you know, if you study this chapter of Acts 16, the Lord had to speak louder and louder and louder to this, and more dramatic to this Philippian jailer, because this jailer wasn't listening. Do you know, as I challenge you this morning in God's house, if you're not saved, if you're not a Christian, are you listening this morning to the claims of the gospel upon your life? Are you listening today to the claims of Jesus? Because I'm here today to tell you the wonderful story of the gospel, that Christ Jesus died for your sins. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he wants to save you today. I wonder, are you listening today? Are you awake to the claims of Christ in your life? The Philippian jailer was busy sleeping. It says in verse 27, the keeper of the prison awakening out of his sleep. Do you know, I said to you earlier, the commencement of our message, God speaks to people in different ways. For no two conversions are ever the same. When we consider the conversion of the Philippian jailer, we could say that it was both dramatic and it was sudden. Verse 26 says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. Philippian jailer, you weren't listening, but you're listening now. And you know, the Philippian jailer, he thought of all the prisoners that escaped and his life was in deep distress. The Philippian jailer's life was at rock bottom. The Philippian jailer here is in a black hole. Here's a man who was feeling suicidal. For verse 27 says he drew out a sword and would have killed himself. I want us to address this just in passing this morning. Do you know, it's an issue that's so prevalent in our country today, especially among young men, and particularly even in the city of Belfast, the issue of suicide. I tell you, I've attended many funerals in Ballybean Estate of people who have taken their own lives, particularly young men. And I tell you, it's an issue that we, the Church of Jesus Christ, we need to think about today, and we need to reach out to families today. You know, just last week, I was talking to a lady in the Ballybean Estate. Lives very near our mission hall. She said her son had tried to commit suicide a few days ago. He'd now come back to live with her. Just on Friday, he was talking to another man who's connected with our hall. His young daughter had taken 30 tablets. I tell you, the issue of suicide is something that's so prevalent, even within the Church of Jesus Christ. Is there any message for the suicidal today? Thank God there is. Is there any way out for those who are feeling depressed and down and disheartened? Thank God there is, and it's in Jesus Christ. Look what the Lord's message to the suicidal is. This is what Paul said to this Philippian jailer. I think these are wonderful verses, wonderful verse. Verse 28 says, but Paul cried unto with a loud voice, listen to this, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. I tell you today, there's great hope in the gospel. For every circumstance, for every situation, for every distressful thought, for every black hole. In times like these, we need a savior. In times like these, we need an anchor. The anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Thank God the anchor is Jesus Christ. Finally this morning, here's my last final thought. We'll soon be finished. The last thing we see from this chapter is household salvation in Philippi. Household salvation in Philippi. It's in the most unusual place. It's a jail. It's among the most unusual people. It's a jailer, not just his jailer, but his entire family. And he cries out to the Apostle Paul these wonderful words. What must I do to be saved? I meet many people like that on the journey of life. You know, not so long ago, I called at a house in Ballybean. I was talking to an elderly lady. In fact, she lived in the Ballybean estate for over 40 years. And she told me for over 40 years, she'd never been in church. And you know, as I began to tell her about the gospel, I almost thought I was in darkest Africa. She knew absolutely nothing about it. Thank God for the gospel today. I wonder this morning, do you know how to be saved? What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You see, it's not head knowledge that the Lord's looking this morning. You see, the Bible says that even the devils in hell believe and tremble. It's heart knowledge, and it's personal. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe that he died for my sins. I invite Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I ask him to take away my sins. I accept him today. Lord Jesus, save me. I tell you this morning, if you come to Jesus Christ and be saved, he'll save you. Thank God he'll save you instantly. But praise God, he'll also save you eternally. And the best thing that you can do for your family today, this morning, is to give them a good education. No, and all those things are good. The best thing, mom and dad, you can do for your family today is to be saved. To bring your children up in the things of Jesus Christ. And the best thing you can do for your community is to be saved. But listen, here's my final message. The best thing that you can do for your soul is to be saved. Let's pray. Maybe there is a man or woman here this morning and you need to be saved. You know, you don't even need to speak to a minister, a pastor, an evangelist, or a missionary. You can be saved right wherever you're sitting. You can just say, Lord Jesus, save me, save me. And I tell you on the authority of God's word, if you're coming now, repenting of your sin, and saying goodbye to your sin, and you're embracing Christ as your Savior, I say to the day on the authority of God's word, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you be saved today? Maybe there's a backslider here this morning and you need to come back to the Lord. You're wasting your days and you're wasting your months and your years. And every day not lived for Jesus is a wasted day and a wasted month and a wasted year. Would you not cry out to the Lord today, Lord, I'm coming back. Lord, I just want my life the way it used to be. Lord, this is the first Sunday of a new season. Sunday the 1st of September, and Lord, I want to come back. Maybe there's a word of challenge for the Christian as you're praying this morning. Lord, just fill me afresh with your Spirit, Lord. I'm just rededicating my life to Jesus. Lord, I want to be used in your service. Lord, I want to win my family for Christ this year. Lord, I want to win my Sunday school class. Lord, as we start Boys Brigade and Girls Brigade, I'm an officer in those organizations. Lord, help me to win the boys of the Boys Brigade to Jesus. Help me, Lord, to see many girls in the Girls Brigade saved this year. Because, Lord, it's when a young person gets saved, not only is it a soul saved, but it's a life saved. Lord, we just dedicate our lives afresh to you, Lord. And we pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're going to have a lovely closing hymn today.